I'm glad we all clap for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. I don't know that anybody else or anything else is worth a cheer as much as that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is in our midst. So I want to welcome everybody this morning that has come to spend the next couple of hours with us. And I want to thank you that you're going to continue the discussion with me on the three-part series that we've been doing on From Desperation to Restoration. We talked about that Jesus' purpose for our lives is to bring us out of desperate situations and that the dry bones in our lives can live again. And then at Encounter Sunday, we talked that there are two realms that we need to call upon, and it is the heavenly realm and the earthly realm, so we can walk into the victory that God has for us. And as part three today, I have entitled our discussions this morning, Fill in the Blank. I don't know how many of you like to actually fill in the blank. How many of you like to fill in the blank? You can let me know how many of you like to fill in the blank. I see about three or four hands, right? Okay, five. One more count. How many of you like to fill in the blank? There you go. The rest of you are with me. I personally am not a fan of fill in the blank, okay? When they put me in a teaching environment where I have to learn, I like to be in control of what I'm learning. So I don't like the teacher to tell me, fill in the blank. Recently, Michael and I were in a learning environment of all adults. I thought filled in the blank, you know, kind of ends with high school. So it's like a room full of adults for a week. And the teachers come up on stage and begin to instruct by having us fill in the blank. So I looked through that extensive booklet that they gave us and was deeply disappointed to see that many fill in the blank. I honestly thought this would be a total waste of my time. Thank you, son. So the first hour or so of that learning experience for me went something like that. I am going to write down whatever I decide is important to be written down. This teacher up there have ideas, but I know my context. So he cannot think of what is most significant to me. So I'm sure that he has not prepared for my fill in the blank, important things. So I kind of pouted. I actually told it to my husband, I cannot believe they put adults in this room and make us fill in the blank. To my surprise, as I got engaged in the teaching experience and learning on my end, I found out that this teacher very thoughtfully prepared the fill-in-the-blank spaces. Not only did the fill-in-the-blank spaces were provided for me with thoughtful consideration of the words that needed to be put in the blank spaces, but I also found out that these words are actually the key concepts. And I better pay close attention, because if I didn't catch the key concept and put it in the right blank space, the sentence could read anything you can imagine. It changed the meaning of the sentence. By the time I filled it with other words, because I wasn't paying a very good attention the very first hour of my learning experience. So I went into my husband's book and I, what did you put down? And then I went to the left, said, what was that word there? I really missed this. And by the time the second hour rolled around, I realized that the guy actually on the platform, he knew what he was talking about. He has been there where I wanted to go. And he was teaching out of a deep knowledge of the context that I was aspiring to get into. And I thought, since I find value in the instruction, then it might be to my benefit if I actually follow closely the instructor and be extra careful to hear what he's saying and be intentional in filling in the blanks so when I get home, I can actually utilize the knowledge I'm gaining and can put it in practice. Whew, that was a lesson for me. It changed my attitude about filling the blank. Now, it's interesting that in life, often, we have a choice if we want to participate in a learning environment that presses us to use fill in the blank. But there is one fill in the blank that you and I are narrating daily, regardless of the fact if we want to do it intentionally or not. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The fill in the blank, daily engagement of our life. Can we go to the next slide, please? I want us to do an exercise together. Get a piece of paper. A lot of you got this brochure that as you come in, a bulletin. Get a piece of paper, get your smartphone, get something to write on. Come on. I'm going to be one of those annoying teachers that make you fill in the blank this morning, all right? Wave at me, whatever you're going to be writing on. I want to make sure that all of you are going to be jotting down something this morning, all right? You're going to find out that by the end of this discussion today about filling the blank, it was profitable to you to write it down. So do not dismiss me in the first 5 minutes as I'm asking you to follow my instructions. So how many of you now have something to write on? Wave at me. Very good, very good. All right, okay. So here's what we're going to do. Put your date of birth first. Yes! Mine over there is October the 18th, 19XX. It's for me to know and for you to not find out this morning. Please put down your date of birth. Jot it down. Then put dash. And then put down 2, and for a lot of us would be 0, and then truly XX, because we do not know yet. What would be your end point here on earth? Now, for some of you, especially the babies that just were taken downstairs, it could read 2-1XX. You might be going 100 plus, 120, but at some point, you will have a date that would fill in that space there. So for now, just put 20XX. Or if you feel like you're going to be an extra blessed in this life, put 21XX. See, what you just jotted down is your arrival date. We all that sit in this room, or all that's going to be watching and listening to later on, have an arrival date. And then there is this blank. And then there will be another date, which we have not gotten to yet. And we thank God we haven't gotten there yet. And we'll reflect a little bit about this blank that sits between your arrival date and your departure date from here on earth. I'd like to take you on a journey with King David that he undergoes in Psalm 139. For those of you that are not familiar quite with who King David is, and I know some of us know and some of us maybe heard of that, and some are still trying to figure out who all those biblical characters are. But King David is a historical figure that lived about 1,000 years before Christ's arrival. So about 1,000 years before the new year. And he was one of the most prominent kings of the nation of Israel. He said quite a few things that we daily cite, enjoy, sing often in church. The Psalms were David's outlet where he reflected and talked about God and his doings and his dealings with him, basically God in all of life. So in Psalm 139, which I really want to do the entire psalm, but I wasn't going to do that because I know our attention span is just that narrow, but it goes very deep. I know that. I know your attention span may be narrow, but it's a very deep attention span, okay? So I know you're sticking with me this morning. So I thought that you can read the entire psalm in 139 at home, but today we're just going to read a portion of it. And I chose to read verses 13 through 18, the first portion of that, and then 23 to 24. By all means, read the entire psalm at home. It's going to make even greater impact on you. So this is what King David's saying. For you, and he's talking about God, as I said, he's reflecting. He really a lot of times just reflected and talked to the Lord through the psalms. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in this secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth. I'm just going to get a short break here because I cannot resist myself to point to two facts. As David is talking about to God about his wonderful creating abilities because he had put him, he knit him together, and he talks about that God knew David while his parents were making him in the secret place. Usually when we do that, it's a secret place. We don't do it in the sight of the entire world to see. So God was present in the moment of David's creation as his embryo became a reality. But God also saw David's unformed body when he was woven together in the depths of the earth. What are you talking about, David? What depths of the earth were you created out of? What David's referring to is that God, the maker and creator of the entire human race, saw him not only while he was being knitted together in the womb of his mother, but he saw him also while God was shaping and molding Adam from the depths of the earth. And as God was shaping Adam, he was shaping the entire human race, and he saw David, a shepherd's boy, out there in the fields, non-significant teenager that wrestled with lions for his survival and for his sheep's survival. And God saw David and chose David for his purposes And David's life was never again the same after Samuel anointed him to become the king of Israel. Much transpired in David's life. He was a warrior, he was a father, he became a king. Unfortunately, other things transpired in King David's life. He became an adulterer and even a killer. But much transpired in King David's life. From there, he was given a second chance and he still remained on the throne. And because he was given a second chance, he was given a son that continued his lineage, that built the temple that David desired to build for God. Much, much happened in David's life, and he was reflecting on the fact that God, the maker of all human race, knew him not only while he was being put together as an embryo in a human womb, but God, the maker of all human race, knew him before the first womb was ever created. While he was shaping from dirt Adam, he saw the entire humanity, including David, the baby, being shaped in the mother's womb. Just couldn't resist to say that, because I think this is significant for us to grasp that this is where God began to know you and me, shaping Adam from the dust of the earth. He saw you and me in our lives. And see the reflection of David about that goes like that. Your eyes, God, saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. And that's what I'm going to be talking about, the connection between this segment, the days written in your book before even one came to be, to the next one. How precious concerning me are your thoughts. In some of your translations, it says, how precious to me are your thoughts. And then with an asterisk down there, when you read in the margin of your Bible, it says, it actually means, how precious concerning me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber, for a fact, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Just reflect for a short second. How vast is the sum of God's thoughts concerning you? And they're so vast, their number is so dramatically big that they outnumber the grains of sand? I mean, you can chuck that to a hyperbole, okay? Oh, well, David just, you know, gets into his inspired moments and starts praising God and starts saying things that just really magnifying the truth. Not really. So not really. Because if God is your maker and your creator, and he puts you together as a human being that has a beginning, has an earthly ending, but eternal existence, because you're not a mere mortal, regardless of what you used to think. You have a beginning, but you go on and on and on, although you're going to transition from this physical existence within the limitations of the dimensional existence on this planet. You're going to transition into a different type of physical dimensionality that may carry way beyond the dimensions of this planet. And you will live depending on your choice, either with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in a wonderful loving unity, or isolated from the triune God. So the thoughts of your Maker, your Creator, had to cover every moment of your existence. And for that reason, they were as vast of a number as the grains of the sand. How many of you engineers, software engineers, all kinds of engineers, how many of you? Raise your hands. When you design, and by the way, I'm a designer also, I'm an architect, so I get some of those concepts that I'm talking about. How many of you, is you are creating something out of nothing? You're thinking of a model, of a software, of a product that hasn't existed yet, and you're just putting it together. And if you're in that sort of a capacity, a creative engineer or an architect, don't you think through all and every aspect of that product? Wouldn't you think how that product is going to function from day one to day last? Wouldn't you encode things in that product where it's going to develop best? Wouldn't you have the best case scenario in mind for that product? From those of you that raised your hands, would you? All right. I know I would. Now, I can only talk from a landscape architect perspective. So when somebody calls me in to beautify their yard, I usually assess first their level of commitment to plants, to care, all kinds of things like that, get their likes and dislikes, and then I design something that would look optimally best. And then I scale it down to the bare minimum. And I usually present a design to my client saying, "No, you can really do the optimum here, and that's going to satisfy every like that you described you want to have. All of your likes are going to be summarized in this design I just gave you." But depending on your commitment of how well you're going to care for this garden that I'm going to create for you, you might get this result or that result, or really come down to a bare minimum, kind of like a rock garden with almost nothing alive inside. It really will depend on your commitment of how you're going to care for the design I'm creating for you. Our God, the designer, the maker of you and me, have created us, and as he was creating us, he thought a plethora of thoughts. Beautiful, envisioning, dream-casting thoughts over every one of you. I'll tell you that this morning I was sitting right there, worshiping the Lord, and knowing what I was about to preach to all of us this morning, I was getting excited just by the thought as I was connecting with the Lord and saying, "I want to capture your thoughts for this morning. What are you thinking over me this morning?" And as I was sitting there praising God, reflecting on what God is thinking over me, I was beyond excited of what God is thinking over his own creation. Because in God, it's all life. And it's not just life, it's abundant life. And in God, there is no darkness. All darkness flees away and light engulfs us. And, you know, this is like really abstract out there, you know, concepts. In real life, what it means is God has the best scenario in mind for your life. And he has the best dreams for you. He has envisioned your life turning into a victory after victory after victory. So David says, when I awake, I'm still with you. And because of that, I'm asking you, God, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Wow. Just want to unpack this a little bit for you. I believe what David is talking here about is how he fills in the blank of his life. He by now is of some age. He has done some good things and some not so good things and some horrible things in life. And as he's reflecting on his intentional narrating of the fill in the blank, that God, his maker, his creator, has given him the responsibility to fill in, he's saying, since you're with me at all times, I so cannot do it by myself. Please search deep within me. What is that? My heart. Saying, dissect. Just do a surgery, open heart surgery, and dive deep into it to find the core of who I am. And do you know where your core lays? It lays deeply within the way you begin to perceive and think of reality. Because let me tell you, perception is not reality. And reality is anchored in God, the maker and creator of all things. And sometimes what you're walking through is only perception. That is not reality. But you look at that. By the way, for those of you that missed the dry bones sermon, please go ahead and you know, listen to that. I believe it's going to be a blessing for you. But if we allow things around us that look like a valley of dry bones to become that perception to accept as reality, it becomes that for you. Because it all begins in the thought process of a human being. Solomon, David's son, writes in Proverbs 23 that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. David, I guess, maybe taught that concept to Solomon. And by the way, Solomon, we know, was one of the wisest people on earth, since he asked God for wisdom. So I think we can trust Solomon on that statement, that as a man thinketh, so is he in his heart. So David is inviting the Lord to do an open heart surgery, to see his thought process, and to see if there are any offensive ways in him. And then if he finds offensive ways, what is an offensive way? A way of thinking, of walking, that diverges from the path that God has for you. And David calls out to the Lord and says, please, please, if you find those points in my life, and by the way, there were many, and he realized that, he said, lead me, bring me back to the path you have that is everlasting. For you, my maker and creator of my being, you have thought everlasting thoughts way before I came on arrival day. You sought them as you were shaping and forming Adam, and you saw me in the posterity that comes after Adam. You thought over me thoughts everlasting from an eternity to eternity, from infinity to infinity. So God, I have nobody else to trust but you, that you can bring me back to the path everlasting. I don't know where you are on that path. I really don't know what's going on in your thought process. But this is how your life looks like. On arrival day, your life had blank days with no human story written on it yet. On arrival day, as far as God is concerned, your blank days were all filled with visionary thoughts for your life. So now, you have a choice to make. And I want to ask you a question. Are His eternal thoughts becoming your daily story? Because as you sow a thought, you reap an action. And I know you know that. As you sow an action, you reap a habit. And as you sow a habit, you reap a lifestyle. I love what Oswald Chambers says. He, by the way, was a prominent theologian, a devout follower of Christ. He says, to think is an effort, right? Sometimes we just don't want to think, okay? To think rightly is a great effort. And to think as a Christian ought to think is the greatest effort of a human soul. I hope that in our discussion, as we are unpacking the thinking of God and our thinking, we're kind of getting why to think as a Christian is the greatest effort of a human soul. Because really, it's all about a choice you have to make daily. If we can go to the next slide. The choice you are making daily is how you're going to fill in the blank of your life. Because again, you're narrating your life regardless of if you're intentionally writing in the blank or not. So to think as a Christian is the greatest effort of a human soul because daily you have to ask yourself, am I going to be writing in the blank alone without any help? Or would I enter in partnership with God, with the greatest storyteller in the universe, and I will at the end have a blended story, God and me. It's my story with His fingerprint on it. Or you're going to stick to doing it all by yourself alone. And if you do that, if you choose to do that, by the way, God doesn't make us do anything. He has allowed us to choose freely if we want to partner with Him. His choice has already been made. He has partnered with humanity. He has already sent Jesus Christ as part of this humanity to come in human flesh to give us a hand, a help out. Now the choice is yours. But if you still want to stick alone to filling in your blank of your life, then there is no forgiveness for somebody that does it alone, because who will forgive you? You, by choice, decide not to tap into the available mercy of God that's out there for you. And if you decide to do it alone, really there are no redos for your life, because who is out there that would give you a second chance? There is no second chance if you're doing it alone. But if you are writing in the blank, in partnership with God, there is that second choice available for all actions that you do in life. Because there is that mercy and forgiveness that's extended to you for all actions and thoughts that you generate within the heart. Because God, the triune God, who is full of mercy, has provided the blood of Jesus Christ to wash you from all of those things that are short of His purposes. See, making a choice is kind of like that. Let's say you've decided to write a book. Not that I know much about that, but I know a little bit about it. Because after writing a long dissertation, I thought, hey, wouldn't it be nice to check and see if I can actually publish this thing? We all have those delusional ideas, you know. We get our degrees and then we think that people are really willing to hear what we have to say. What I find out is that I need to find not just a publisher, but I need to find a publisher that is really passionate about the story I want to tell. And if I find a publisher that is passionate about the story I'm telling, about my story, then that publisher corrects for spelling, but more importantly, that publisher corrects for content. Whew! This is the greatest contribution that somebody coming out of doctoral studies and having a very thick book laying on their mantle shelf somewhere, that a publisher that knows the market that I'm trying to reach out there guides me of how to engage the market and offer value to that market and keep me engaged with it. That publisher that is passionate about my story, that corrects for my spelling and grammar and other tiny little bitty things that I do, also cheers me passionately about the content when I jump in and do the risk things, when I climb mountains that other authors haven't climbed yet, and really, really encourages me to go after my dream. I see a great correlation between publishing a worth reading story and the publisher in heaven who has dreamed over all of us a narrative for your life and have offered you His hand of partnership and is saying, if you entrust your storyline with me, I will be the first clapper and I will be the one cheering you on as you're engaging those divergent thoughts that are going to be disruptive behavior, actions that are actually going to produce new outcomes. Maybe nobody else gets it, but your publisher gets it. Your editor in heaven totally understands your dreams and where your heart desires lay because He created you with the makeup that you are. And He desires for you to tap into the storyline that you haven't engaged yet. Maybe you haven't had the courage to go there. But He, in His eternal foresight, has seen you today. He definitely knows you yesterday. But He also has envisioned tomorrow for you. And if you tap into His dream for your life, His thoughts, if you capture the thoughts of God that He has thought over you as He was creating you before you even became an embryo. Your life outcome would be an amazing, impactful, victorious story that people would love to read, that your context would embrace, just because you represent the maker and the designer of the most amazing human being, you. For you truly are His crown creation. Because at the end, at departure date, this is what's going to be important. When you meet that publisher, your editor, that creator, the maker of all human souls, and more importantly, the maker of your soul, his question to you would be, who narrated your life? Where did you get the input for your life's story? There is much mercy, forgiveness, second chance opportunities right now. But when we reach to the end of the blank space and there is a date that somebody else would actually put to bookend our life, the question that we have to answer is, did His story become your history? Did His story become your history? I'm finishing part 3, as I said, of desperation to restoration. Dry bones can live again. And I want to encourage you today that dry bones can live again. And for some of you, your life represents a desperate, desolate desert. There isn't a single drop of life in there. And you're wondering, how on earth am I going to see a story of victory in the middle of that desert? But I have a good news for you this morning, because the maker and the creator of your soul that had seen you way before your arrival date on planet Earth has already thought an exit strategy, and it looks like that. Michael, you can come to them. It looks like that. It looks like a festive bouquet of balloons, like a crown of balloons just floating above you. It's a cheerful sight. You are walking a desert, and He, looking through the blood of Jesus Christ to you, is seeing a festive crown of colorful balloons. And you may think this is just so silly. Balloons? What does that have to do with reality? And I'll tell you what it has to do with reality. I looked at that picture and I said, wow. I see the joy in it. But I see joy in the clouds. It's really out there in the clouds. It is not reality. How on earth a joyful picture of color becomes reality for you and me? And then the Lord spoke something to me as I was looking at this picture. And I wanted to bring a visual, because if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this. Capture the thoughts of God for you. Capture the thoughts of God for you. Begin to think them. They're going to become an action. And from action, they're going to become a habit. From habit, you will find a lifestyle of victory with Jesus Christ. And I said, how on earth are we going to capture your thoughts about us, God? It really is out there in the clouds and said, look closely, look closely, look closely with me. What do you see? What do you see tied to the end of each balloon? Strings. Strings. Do you know those strings extend from heaven to earth? They're very long strings. His thoughts are up there. They're lofty. They're joyful. But they're in the clouds. They're still a heavenly reality. Has not become an earthly one yet. Because we have not called upon the earthly reality to change based on the heavenly decree. And the Holy Spirit whispered in my heart, capture my thought. I have provided you with a connection between heaven to earth. The Holy Spirit was available to planet Earth from day one for planet Earth. You open Genesis, and in the very first chapter, in the very first couple of verses, you find the Holy Spirit brooding, being over the unformed land. And you read Psalm 139, and you find the Holy Spirit brooding and thinking over you while still you are unformed body in your mother's womb. Capture the thought of God through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. For by the Holy Spirit, we can know the mind of God. But who really knows the mind of God, the scripture says, but the Spirit who searches the mind of God. But do you know what we read in Romans 8? We know what 8:28 says, that everything works for what? For good, for those that are called according to His purpose. But do you know what verse 26 and 27 talks about? That it is His Spirit, God's Spirit, that searches our human spirit and makes the connection between God and human. And it says that He even prays according to the Father's will when we have no clue of what to do with the situation. That at the end turns for good for those that are called according to His purpose. This string that tingles from the balloon that starts from heaven up there but reaches down here to earth is the Spirit of God. His Spirit is available to all of us. And this is what Paul says about God's Spirit in Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose for you. For it is God who stirs all of the desires, the dreams, the passions in you. And it is your responsibility as you begin to fill in the blank to do it in partnership with the Holy Spirit so you can narrate His story, that by the end of your life, it may become history for you. In a second here, I will open the altars. And I'm going to make an invitation for those of you that wrote down date of birth and a blank and an unknown date that's going to bookend your life. For those of you that really want to come and engage the Holy Spirit in the deep stirrings of your heart, to come to the front, to prayerfully consider what is the Spirit of God speaking into your life at the present moment. What are those dreams that He has stirred you to accomplish? What are those dreams that you thought would never become a reality? They're out there in the clouds. And everybody that even hears you to hint about them say, that will never become a reality because your head is in the clouds. I have news for you. Your head is in the clouds because you're capturing the thoughts of God that are in the clouds. They are beyond your narrow understanding of life. They expand who you are in Christ. Let's all stand up. I will pray a blessing over all of us, and I will conclude the service. For those of you that do not intend on coming to the front and seeking after God's dreams for your life, it's okay. You can do that at home. You can continue to reflect on the discussion we had this morning. You can do that during the week. For those of you that would like to come to the altar, I will continue to pray with you after the dismissal prayer. If you're new with us this morning, I would love to meet with you in a little bit in the hospitality room, which is to my left. But regardless of where you're going to be pursuing God, seeking for His answer for your blank, I want to encourage you this week to be intentional in pursuing God's dreams for your life. Make it a habit. May that become a lifestyle for you, that at all times you will be aiming to capturing the strings of the thoughts of God that the Holy Spirit's bringing into your life. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you have come with a message of hope for us. We bless your holy name. We glorify your name. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the beautiful design that you created us to be. Today, I'm just praying over all of us that your Holy Spirit will bring the stirrings in our hearts and will begin to surface the thoughts of God for our lives, your dreams, your envisioned future for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that. And I pray your anointing and your mercy, your protection to guide us all as we engage the marketplace tomorrow and as we become the hope on a hill for this city. In the name of Christ, we pray that. Amen. For those of you now that would like to come to the front and jot down in those blank spaces dreams that God has placed in your heart, please do so right now. Come to the front. The rest of you are dismissed. God bless you. Amen.